You have in both of them people who are feverishly addicted to the media game and miss it. And I think despite each of their relative success, never sort of got as high as they would have liked.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Thursday, April 18th. Today, I'm joined by Dylan Byers to talk about a new era at the Daily Beast. Its owner, Barry Diller, this week installed two media veterans to shake up the digital media property that was founded back in 2008. Ben Sherwood, the former head of Disney ABC Television, and Joanna Coles, the former Hearst magazine chief. But can they breathe new life into a website that's seen buzzier and more profitable days? Dylan and I dig in. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where ChiliPad by SleepMe comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The ChiliPad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. ChiliPad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. ChiliPads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, ChiliPad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your chili pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Powers That Be. I'm joined today by Dylan Byers to talk about some pretty eyebrow-raising media news this week. Barry Diller, who runs IAC, hired two media veterans to take over the Daily Beast. And the names might surprise you. Ben Sherwood, the former president of Disney ABC Television, and Joanna Coles, the former Hearst Magazine's chief. Both of them will be running the Daily Beast. They want to shake it up. They want to inject some new energy into this company, which was founded back in 2008 in the heady days of digital media. It's since become a mix of subscription, but also free. I'm actually not sure, and I want to talk to Dylan about that. Quick disclaimer, I also work at Snapchat. Joanna is on the board at Snap, and she's been a pal over the years. We've had more than a few cocktails together, so just getting that out of the way. Dylan, I was fascinated by this news. Did it surprise you as well?
Yeah, honestly, Peter, it totally surprised me, and I think for a few reasons. One, most notably, you know, Barry Diller has been trying to offload the asset for a really long time, and the reason is because it's a pretty abysmal business. You know, look, I think you and I both remember the Tina Brown era when she had sort of infused it with this sort of sophisticated tabloid energy. And, you know, and that was like sort of the her run at like a Arianna Huffington style business where she could sort of leverage the Rolodex. And, you know, I think when they went to launch, you know, Bill Clinton was recommending, you know, his favorite economics books. And God, Christopher Buckley was, you know, like snubbing his father and endorsing Obama. And there was just, there was sort of a level of like insider journalism that was sort of fun and cheeky, and I think was Tina Brown's best attempt to sort of carry the halcyon days of the magazine era, Tatler, Vanity Fair, The New Yorker, into the 21st century, into the digital media realm. But of course, whatever success she had in terms of willing that into the zeitgeist of the time, she did not have the same success in terms of making it a viable or profitable business. And back then, it lost $10 million a year. Today, it still loses millions and millions of dollars every year. And it has the added indignity of having lost its luster and, of course, having to deal with all the familiar sort of union battles and staff defections that come with it. And so it's not surprising that Barry Diller has been trying to offload it. I think he's been trying to offload it since around the time that Tina Brown left. And what is surprising is that this odd couple of Ben Sherwood and Joanna Coles would want to take it over. At least it seems like, why would you want to do this? What is the, why spend the time mm-hmm. and the effort and risk the sort of, public humiliation that I think we've seen when people sort of, naively and pridefully try to, start or revive a media business. You think about Katzenberg and Quibi, you think about Finkelstein and The Messenger. What is the sort of point here? And I think what the sort of conclusion that I've come to in my reporting is that you have in both Ben Sherwood, a legacy television news veteran who went on to become the head of Disney Television, and in Joanna Coles, a legacy magazine executive who sort of has since occupied her time with various pursuits and trying to get SPACs off the ground and things like that. You have in both of them people who are feverishly addicted to the media game and miss it. And I think despite each of their relative success, never sort of got as high as they would have liked. Ben Sherwood left Disney in 2019. Joanna Coles was forced out at Hearst Magazines around the same time and have sort of been left in the sort of relative wilderness of media, missing it, thinking that if only they had the chance to get back into it, they could probably do better than others have, and also recognizing that there's sort of a limited options at their disposal because the jobs of like television news executive or magazine editor are quite obviously not what they once were. And so the sort of best available opportunity here is a money-losing digital media enterprise that at the very least has brand equity and which they sort of believe that they've got nothing to lose and there's only upside, and that somehow by restoring that sort of sophisticated tabloid sensibility, they can make this a profitable enterprise. I think the last 15 years of the Beast's history would suggest that that's not necessarily the most likely outcome. But nevertheless, for want of any better opportunity, they are going to try.
I want to ask you after the break about what Ben and Joanna specifically are going to try to do to put the Daily Beast back into the sort of buzzy media conversation where they once were. And by the way, this isn't just some old digital media property that is completely withered. I mean, they do have a bunch of great reporters there, I should say. But before getting to that, have they ever been profitable over these many years? And like you just said, is the goal to make them profitable or just to sort of make them buzzy?
I think that they both want this to be buzzy. They both want to get some attention. I think they both want to retain some level of the sort of like power and influence that comes from being at the helm of a media enterprise, whether that's television or print or digital. And yes, I think obviously the goal is to make it profitable. And I think that what they have, in addition to a 49% stake in the business and equity and salaries, is that they have what has been described to me as a significant level of capital investment to turn this into a both buzzy and profitable business. Now, I don't know if the goal here is to get it to a place where they can flip it. I don't know if they just want to enjoy the ride one more time. But again, the sort of the challenges here seem sort of manifold. And if you think about the sort of abysmal state of the ad market, you think about the just the economics of digital media at this scale. You obviously think about like the fact that it hasn't made money and that Barry Diller has been very eager to sell it for a long time. You have to wonder why they think that resuscitating, again, the Tina Brown sensibility is going to somehow work out differently this time. And I think it seems to me like they're trying to fill a hole here in terms of editorial sensibility that is somewhere around like the non-depressing parts of the Daily Mail with a little bit of the old Vanity Fair and maybe a little bit of the Cut. And they are going to pursue, you know, they're going to cover celebrities and CEOs and the royals aggressively and in a way that I think is supposed to be fun and funny and cheeky. Again, that might be more interesting than what the Daily Beast is doing now or has been doing in recent years. But again, it's hard for me to see exactly how the money lines up.
I'm going to take a quick break, Dylan, and ask you more about this when we come back.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow $1 million Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. I'm talking to Dylan Byers about the new bosses at the Daily Beast. Dylan, I get Joanna in this role. She has a background at Hearst. She ran Cosmo and Marie Claire. Before that, back in the day, she worked in British media, BBC, Guardian, etc. And as I mentioned, she, you know, developed a very strong partnership with Snapchat. So she kind of has an eye toward the digital universe. Ben Sherwood is a little more curious to me because of his background as a TV guy. Not that you can't do print slash digital if you have a TV background. Both of us certainly do that. But, you know, he's a TV executive. So are there ambitions here to create video content, to develop shows? Like, what is his role here?
I don't see that, at least not in the immediate. Again, what I see are two veterans of legacy media who just sort of desperately want a seat at the table. And I think also two people who have achieved a lot in over the course of their careers, right? I mean, if you think about Ben Sherwood's sort of meteoric rise at ABC News, he went from being, you know, sort of an associate producer of whatever show to becoming the executive producer of Good Morning America and then the president of ABC News. And in the process, he was the one who sort of led ABC News to its historic, you know, taking over NBC's Today Show in the ratings. And he sort of led like the most sort of competitive and exciting days of ABC News long before this current era of, you know, Kim Godwin led decline. That was him, and then he went on to Burbank and became a member of the Bob Iger inner circle and ran Disney Television, and I'm sure on more than one occasion probably harbored some hopes that he might one day be considered for the top job at Disney. So he is a sort of famously and infamously ambitious person who, again, given the choice between having a seat at the table and not having a seat at the table, would rather have a seat at the table. And I think what the digital media environment, I think the offer there that has been presented to him is one in which the business is not so neatly defined as television, print publishing, digital, but rather all, I think he probably recognizes, as everyone does, that all of these businesses can potentially compete with one another, and that it's all just a question about how you compete with and engage audiences. And much like Jeff Zucker going after the Telegraph, it's a question of what options are available to you. And again, you know, standing up, I think, as we know, as the folks at Semaphore or Punchbowl or Axios know, standing up a media company takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And taking over the CEO role of an existing brand that has some level of brand equity still, with in cooperation with Barry Diller, is perhaps a more immediate path back toward the sort of relevancy that I think he covets.
Dylan, last thing I want to ask you. On Tuesday, Joanna tweeted, "In my first move as chief content officer at the Daily Beast, we are hiring a senior Lauren Sanchez correspondent." That would be the wife of Jeff Bezos. I think I read that. I still had Coachella mush brain, and I thought Joanna had said they hired Lauren Sanchez as one of their correspondents at first when I misread it. But what does that signal to you as what their goals are? Are they going to start just going after the kind of gossipy sort of high-end tabloid subjects out there?
Yeah, exactly. I think that a couple things. One, I think that after the initial rush of seeing your picture in the New York Times evaporates, you need to keep sort of generating interest in this thing, and doing something like that does telegraph the sort of, again, playful, cheeky, fun, a little bit mischievous nature of what you're trying to do. And they will, you know, in the press release, which didn't get as much attention as the Times article, she made very clear that there was going to be a sort of, you know, a Lauren Sanchez correspondent and a "Where is Melania Trump" correspondent, and that they would cover celebrities and CEOs and the royals and yes, you are effectively saying we are here. This is what we are here to do. We are here to have fun. Again, go back to some of that Tina Brown era energy. At the same time, it does sort of perhaps inadvertently telegraph the sort of, I don't know, I'd say quixotic nature of mm-hmm. this venture, which is what hole are you filling, right? You are deciding to go with a sort of populist mass market news site. It's sophisticated tabloid, but it's still tabloid. And you want to cover, you want to basically provide people with something that's more fun than the New York Times, but still covering those, that sort of world. And I think getting there requires more than sensibility, which is what I think Tina Brown found out. I think that getting there requires, really talented, smart, witty, charismatic journalists, of whom there are not necessarily all that many. Certainly, you can aggregate the news about these people day in and day out. Certainly, you can provide, your sort of twist on the latest tweet from Elon Musk or the latest, Lauren Sanchez sighting. But in order to do something that people are going to engage with consistently and that people might even pay for and subscribe to, you have to differentiate yourself in a market where, yes, the Daily Mail already exists, and yes, The Cut and Vanity Fair already exist, and yes, Twitter and TikTok, obviously, and Snapchat and Instagram already exist. So how are you going to do that? And I think part of the sort of bewilderment and befuddlement that so many in the industry felt upon seeing the news that we broke and then seeing the Times article is all good and well that you want to bring back that sensibility, but how you get there and how you monetize it, I think, remains as evasive as ever.
Dylan, thank you so much, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, Peter. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.